Tapes and Scouts, a podcast where two friends review every single movie they watch.
Sup?
What up, homie?
How the hell are you?
I am pumped to podcast this podcast with you, podcast partner.
Well, that's your best John Wayne so far. That's pretty good.
Pilgrim.
I'm excited too. I actually enjoyed my movies this time. Something new I'm trying, you know.
Enjoyable movies.
With movies
less
that are
than a dozen words in the title, huh?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, no, one of them's pretty long.
Okay, fair enough. I have quite a lengthy title one as well.
Yeah. I mean, title aside though, you know, enjoyable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Would you like to go first?
Or would you willing to.
You're willing to go first.
I'm willing to go first.
Well, tell me about your last one. Is it going to be a strong end, a weak end? Is it a...
It's a strong end.
A strong end. Wow.
Yeah, it's a good end.
Okay. I'll go first this time.
All right.
1991.
Okay.
The Addams Family.
Oh, yeah.
Bum, 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 bum.
Boop. Boop.
Watch this on September 29th of 2023. It's 1 hour and 39 minutes. A comedy fantasy film directed by very popular at the time, Barry Sonnenfeld.
Mm.
Starring Angelica Houston, Raul Julia, Christopher Lloyd, Christina Ricci. I mean, this cast is also another big
bonkers
cast. Yep. Your summary for this one? Con artists plan to fleece an eccentric family using an accomplice who claims to be their long-lost uncle or brother, depending on who you are.
Depending on who we're talking about.
Yeah. So this is a tough one, another tough one for me to evaluate because it came out and it was so prolific when I was a child.
And you love
it. It's so good. In my head, I know that obviously the Addams Family started as a comic strip by Charles Addams. It's popularized with a television series. And I know a lot of people really have that view. Like John Astin is their Gomez.
Yep.
For me, Houston and Julia are the, you know what I mean? They are the Gomez and Morticia Addams in my head.
I think they do a good job homaging the way the old ones were as well.
I agree. I think now it's very weird for me to see Luis Guzman as Gomez because it's like a wholly different take. I think it's more in line with the Charles Addams style of Gomez.
That I'll agree. Yes.
But it just doesn't work. Like, I think they did such a good job of highlighting the relationship that Gomez and Morticia have. Like, you can tell they're so in love with each other that it's like kind of endearing. Like, it's weird and macabre, but
sure.
It's lovely.
Yes.
So it's really cool to see. I think it's just so neat that they do. I think that, like, them casting Christopher Lloyd is an unusual choice for Fester, but he crushes it.
Yeah, it definitely works.
He's really good. Christina Ricci is awesome as that kind of, like, very, like, straight-faced, like essentially she plays the straight man in the movie. Like, she doesn't really have a whole lot of jokes. She just stands there and looks pissed off the whole time, and she crushes it.
Whoever played Pugsley was good.
Also very, very
good. I don't remember who that kid...
Innocent, happy, the exact opposite of Wednesday. It's
right.
Just fantastic. If
that kid went on to do anything fun.
I don't know.
We'll have to figure that out later.
Yeah. I think that this movie it's really well paced. It makes a lot of sense. There's no weirdness in it. It, you know, it's pretty trim, right? Like 1 hour 39. Like, it's not screwing around too long.
Right.
The set design in this movie is great. The music playing off of the original Addams Family tune is great. I think the way Thing looks is really impressive for the time.
Yeah.
This being 91, and it's just a hand that's moving around is really, really cool. And I think that everything looks correct. Like you said, they've done a lot of their homework and tried really heavily to base their looks off of the television series.
Yeah.
And I think they did that really successfully. The other characters they introduce help really make the characters look extra odd, but also they're so kind of like sleazebaggy that it makes you sympathetic towards the Addams Family. It's a really nice world they build in this movie. I think they introduce it just the right way. It's a carefully crafted script, and I think Sonnenfeld was the right director because he liked the technology at the time, kind of pushing the envelope, but it was still very traditionally directed. Like, it doesn't feel too busied like a later Robert Zemeckis would kind of make. Like, I'm more interested in the tech than I am about making a movie anymore. It doesn't feel like that. It feels like there's intrigue in how to make the movie compelling, but still focused on making the movie compelling. So I think that Sonnenfeld did a really nice job here.
I agree.
IMDb, second best score possible for this one, a 6.9 out of 10. Rotten Tomatoes critics, 52 of them go back to give this a 67%.
Close.
Audience, 250,000 plus, 66%.
Oh, wow. That's pretty wild.
Yeah, they're all very close.
I bet you're going to be a full point above them.
Yeah, 7.5. 7.5. I think this movie is a ton of fun. And it's just, like I said, there's that nostalgia factor that makes it hard to separate to an extent. But I think going back and watching some of these other movies in the Jared movie challenge, or Jared's alphabet challenge, excuse me, I don't have to properly do it because it's not one this episode.
That's true.
I think that it really has allowed me to see some of the flaws in these early childhood movies for me. And this one has a couple little hiccups here or there, but for the most part, it's pretty damn good.
I just like that there's a gothic macabre kind of movie for kids.
Yes.
That's such a cool thing.
I agree with you completely. Look at that. And Nightmare Before Christmas, and like it started to kind of pick up.
Yep.
I mean, you get into the era of Tim Burton, right? Tim Burton really going full Tim Burton. And
getting all Burton-y. Getting that there Burton-y. Burton-y.
Tim Burton-y.
Well, I got a movie.
Ooh.
It's from this year.
This year?
Yeah, 2023.
I've heard of this year.
It's a newer movie.
Uh-huh.
It's an animated.
An animated?
It's a mix of animation in this
one.
Because it's Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Mutant Mayhem.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. Did I steal this one from you?
You didn't. Oh, I mean, not in theory, but
yes.
It was one that was positively reviewed by family members and such.
Ah, well, let's see if they're crazy.
Let's see if they're crazy. I'm sure they are.
So I watched this on the 1st of October, 2023. It's an hour 39 genre animation action adventure directed by Jeff Rowe and Kyle Spears.
Get them.
Starring Micah Abbey, Shannon Brown Jr., Nicholas Cantu, and Brady Noon. That's your turtles.
Turtles.
IMDb movie summary, the film follows the Turtle Brothers as they work to earn the love of New York City while facing down an army of mutants.
Isn't that always the case?
It is. What this movie does right is it recasts these turtles and gets teenage voice actors, and they feel like young kids.
Not Corey Feldman?
They don't feel as much like Corey Feldman.
Oh, weird.
There is so much happening with this. The animation's really cool.
It is.
It does have like a CGI animation, but there will be things like not so different from like Into the Spider-Verse, where there'll be like a more traditional moment.
Right.
Certain effects, like you know, like fog or you know gas coming out of a car and like things like fire, like they might be actually hand animated.
Oh, that's fine.
And other cool kind of giving a really cool effect. But this movie, it makes them feel young. Because I feel like sometimes they're talking, I don't know what the hell they're saying. So it worked.
Damn Gen Z turtles.
It redoes their origin pretty well and does it pretty quick, so you're not too bored by it. Splinter, it takes a minute to get used to. He looks very different.
Okay.
But he's fun. And basically what it is they just want to interact with the human world, and they can't, so they decide to help the human world so that they'll think they're heroes, so they can just walk around and go to high school and do normal kid things, because they're sad that they can't.
That's pretty sad.
It's the basics. It really pulls at the heartstrings more than you would think.
Yeah.
Which was surprising. I gotta talk about the voice cast in this, because everybody else, even a minor character, is a cool person doing a voice.
Nice.
You got John Cena, Seth Rogen, David Faustino, Rose Byrne, Giancarlo Esposito, Post Malone, Paul Rudd, Ice Cube, Jackie Chan, Hannibal Buress, Maya Rudolph, like a million people.
That is cameo central.
It truly is. Some of them are just goons, and like I feel like the bigger of an actor you are, the lesser role they gave you.
I love that.
Like just like, hey, come in and say three words.
That's right.
Yeah. Oh, so funny. But Jackie Chan actually is Master Splinter.
Nice, perfect choice.
Yeah, and it really, because I'm sitting there like, I'm like, who is this? I couldn't figure it out, and I had to wait till the end. I noticed
Jackie Chan Adventure Fame.
I noticed John Cena was Rocksteady right away, though. I'll have you know, wrestler role.
Could you see Rocksteady? Could you see Rocksteady on the screen? Is the question.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they had to animate him in. I don't know how that works.
That's weird. If he lends his voice to a character, it doesn't disappear as well?
I couldn't see his voice.
Wow. Well, that's always been the case with John Cena. He can't see his voice.
No.
No subtitles. John Cena talks, there's no subtitles.
If he's really even there.
Right.
But this movie is amazing. The basic concept, there's them being young turtles, them just trying to figure out the world and what they believe from Master Splinter, who's their father figure, all the things they told him. He's like, don't go talk to the humans. They'll steal your blood. They're going to milk you. Like,
oh, wow.
All kinds of weird things that he says. Your basic plot, though, there are other mutants that get created because Baxter Stockman is working on a bunch of things at the beginning where he gets attacked. You don't really actually know what happens to him, but you do see the creation of the villain Superfly.
Superfly.
Which is Ice Cube. And amazing. All the music in this, my goodness. All the music is old school rap or industrial rock.
Oh, wow.
That's it. There is nothing different. And the usage of the music is amazing. The fight scene choreography, because they're using like old school rap over it, it's not unknown stuff.
Right.
There's a scene to No Diggity, which is awesome. It practically makes the movie, and it's so good. I was laughing out loud. There's a great part where Superfly says he's going to mollywop everybody who crosses him, and then he ends up fighting Donatello, and he goes, oh no, he took my stick, and then he pulls him back. He goes, oh no, he's mollywopping me. I was done. I was legit laughing out loud, so loud my wife had to pause the movie.
I was like,
he said mollywop, then he did it.
So what you're saying is you like the way they worked it.
I like the way they worked it. No Diggity.
Excellent.
Movie's good. There's a lot of characters that got a lot of love, probably from the toy line, that I don't know got a ton of love in any other medium.
Wasn't Mondo Gecko in there?
Mondo Gecko is great.
That's one of my favorite from the toys.
Which is Paul Rudd.
Paul Rudd, yep.
Mondo Gecko is in here. Wingnut, which is a bat woman. Yep. Oh my goodness.
Screw loose.
Yep.
Yep.
Wingnut is in there. There's so much to digest from this.
That's cool.
April's a high school student instead, trying to work for her her paper.
Okay.
And she's trying to, there's a curfew because of all the robberies and things going on. She's trying to get her prom reinstated, essentially. So like a lot of basic plots here, but like the way they go about it is really fun and creative.
Focus very much on the teenage part of teenage.
Yes. What are we worried about? We're worried about our prom. We can't do this. We can't do that.
And that's cool.
It's pretty good. There's a lot of really good morals here. There's a lot of good action here. It's really, there's even the ninja rap makes an appearance. So
nice.
They homage everything.
It's nice to see a thoughtful rehash of Turtles. We've seen Turtles rehash so many times.
So many.
From the comics to when we were young and they had the colors and the belts and everything like that. And
right.
They rehashed it again and again and again and again. So there's the next mutation, I think it was called. Venus de Milo.
Didn't go over as well.
Yeah, and then there was...
You had the Fox cartoon in the early 2000s, which was more adult-oriented, more violent. And like, that works.
The great TV movie, Turtles Forever.
Yes.
Which was awesome.
Yeah, so there's been a lot.
Oh, yeah, and then Nickelodeon got the rights and did it a bunch of different times to not terribly successful results, and this is
easily
the best.
I had a blast.
Yeah.
I had a blast. So let's go to the scores. Yeah. Do you want to guess them?
No.
All right.
I'm doing miserably.
All right. IMDb gave it a 7.3. Rotten Tomato critics, 238 critics, 96%.
Damn.
The audience, 2,500 plus, 90%.
That's awesome.
This has a wife score. Do you want to guess who has a higher score?
I'm going to go with, man, this is tough because you like comics.
I do.
I'm going to go with you.
You're right. My wife gave this a 7.5, but she wrong because this is a 9 out of 10.
Damn.
This movie is so incredibly good. Please watch it.
That's awesome. Very excited.
No Diggity.
No Diggity.
No doubt.
I also have a movie from 2023.
Ooh, really?
Yes. It's called Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret.
Hi, Margaret.
Hi. Watch this on September 29th of 2023. It is 1 hour and 46 minutes. It's a drama comedy directed by Kelly Freeman Craig, starring Abby Ryder Fortson. Everybody's got three names.
Jeez.
Kathy Bates. Ellie Graham.
Good thing Kathy Bates came in to stop that.
Thank God, Kathy Bates. Your movie summary here. When her family moves from the city to the suburbs, 11-year-old Margaret navigates new friends, feelings, and the beginnings of adolescence.
Ooh. Was this a book?
This was a Judy Blume.
A Judy Blume,
so
okay.
This is a 70s.
All right, then.
Yeah, and it is set in the 70s.
Gotcha.
It is such a good slice of lifestyle movie. Like,
right.
It really feels like a Linkletter style piece where you're just kind of like, there's nothing in particular that this is going through, just a point in time of this girl's life, which is pretty much the time of her ending being a child in earnest and her entering womanhood. And a lot of the framing device for that is her period.
Okay.
So she's like terrified she's not going to get her period until she's like quote unquote too old, or then she would be weird because she hasn't gotten her period yet.
Okay.
And so that's kind of the framing device of the movie. So the whole thing is her moving from New York to New Jersey, and she has both her parents and the mother and her parents are kind of estranged, but the father is very close to her mother, who's played, or his mother, excuse me, who's played by Kathy Bates.
Okay.
And it's a Jewish father and a Christian mother, and that's what caused the falling out, is they wanted to become a couple, and the Christian parents did not like that concept.
Ooh.
So the girls unpacking, kind of, you can tell by the title, right? Are you there, God? It's me, Margaret. There's a lot to do with religion, but not overly much. It's just kind of her having conversations with God that always start with, are you there, God? It's me, okay. Margaret. And she goes into her spiel about kind of just dumping, like almost like God as a therapist, right?
Okay.
This happened to me, this happened to me. And you go through a lot of, even for me, relatable childhood moments. There's a spin the bottle scene. Mm. There's the kid who's like matured too quickly that gets made fun of and everybody thinks is like doing adulty stuff.
Right.
And they're really not. And then she ends up realizing that her friend group is kind of like the mean girls of the class. And she's in that. And it's really compelling. It's so well done. The lead actress, who I assume to be Abby Ryder Fortson, is phenomenal.
Nice.
She makes herself so incredibly vulnerable and so believable. The writing is smart. She gets mad about things as if a kid would, but you're seeing it through her perspective, so you kind of understand it. Like, she's having a lot of problems at school, and she's going to take a trip to see her grandmother in Florida, and then they have to cancel the trip because the mom's parents are coming to visit for the first time, like, and it's this big deal, and she flips out because she wants to go to Florida to escape all of the terrible kind of situations that are going on in her life, and she needs to decompress and like chill with her grandmother, who's Kathy Bates. And it's like really, really good. And it just resonates so strongly and has such an authentic quality to it that it's hard to not get drawn into it, in my opinion.
That's awesome. Chilling with Kathy Bates.
Who wouldn't want to?
To calm down, you know?
Other than James Caan, who wouldn't want to?
Sure. Yeah.
It's just so good. It's so smart. It's so well handled. It's a shorter, it's a longer Judy Blume work at a little over, I think it's 150, 170 pages, something like that.
Okay.
But it's kind of like a short novella size. So it's kind of perfect for this kind of movie. Like, it flows smoothly. The dialogue is really good. The situations are super like authentic, and you buy into them. You can see yourself being in them. Like, there's a big difference on like, her religion and where she should sit, and that's kind of the big climax. Like, the stakes aren't high. Like, the climax of the movie is Kathy Bates disagreeing with the mother's parents about her being religious or having the opportunity to explore religion versus she should be Jewish, because she's trying to figure it out. Like, part of her research paper for school is learning about religion.
Okay.
And so it's her kind of investing. She goes to Jewish temple and looks into that side of things. And that makes Kathy Bates think that she wants to be Jewish only. And so she gets, and it's like this whole thing. And she's kind of in the middle, and she's just like, I don't understand religion. I hate religion. This is terrible. And then at the end of the movie, of course, she does get her period right before she's about to go to summer camp.
There it is.
But she's come to realize like her friends aren't so great, or at least the kind of the main friend isn't such a nice person. She needs to move on, and she kind of makes friends with the one girl she alienates.
That's nice.
It's really, really thoughtful. It's really kind of a lovely movie. It's hard to not enjoy something like that. IMDb gives it a 7.4 out of 10.
Good, yeah.
Rotten Tomato critics, 208 critics. 99%.
Whoa.
Yeah, pretty crazy.
Yeah.
Audience, 250 plus, 95%.
Whoa.
Yeah, bringing the heat with this one, yeah. And yeah, I'm coming in at a 9 out of 10 here.
Movie's look at awesome. This.
I feel like if I was a female, it would be higher.
Really?
I just can't relate to a lot of the period piece,
period piece.
It, I can't really relate to, but Sam said that I think she would give it a 9.5 when we were done watching.
Wow. So
strong on that. Strong head nod of 9.5.
There you go.
Very cool.
Period piece. Jesus.
It is. It's set in the 70s, and it's about a girl who's getting a period. Give me my Tony Award.
Nah. Well, I'll take us home.
Okay.
I'll take us home with a documentary.
Oh my goodness. Tim, love him a documentary.
I know. I try not to do too many, but I could do so many.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with that.
It's just, you know, it would all be that.
It would.
I love him. But I love him.
It's your own documentary.
The year is 2022.
Okay. It's not, but I get what you're going with.
Oh.
Wait, what?
2023. No shit.
Yeah.
Dave Stevens, Drawn to Perfection.
Drawn to Perfection.
Yes. Okay. I watched this on the 2nd of October, 2023. It's an hour 39 documentary directed by Kelvin Mao, starring Thomas Jane, Billy Campbell, and Joe Johnston.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, them some people.
Yeah, one's a director and a special effects person before that.
That's right.
Yeah.
IMDb movie summary. Dave Stevens created The Rocketeer and reintroduced the world to 50s pinup model Betty Page. Mm-hmm. While carving out his own unique corner of importance in comic book and illustration art, Dave showed the world what it's like to pursue the life of a creative individual.
Very compelling illustrations from The Rocketeer.
Yes. Dave Stevens is one of my favorite artists. To find out there was a documentary, I was pumped.
Right.
And I was like, well, I hope... So I know he does a lot of pinup art, and I'm like, man, I hope he's not like a weird perv or something. Yeah. I don't want to find out something awful about him.
Right.
He's not. He loves the female form. Let's get... Not, you know.
But I mean, there's a lot of great comic artists who...
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, it's not a... Not unusual for comic book artists, and not many of them were perverts.
I mean, they have to study anatomy for both men and women. They have to know it inside and out. He was just the guy who was like, Comic-Con was a newer thing, and he would hire models. They already had models going to Comic-Con back then, dressed up as characters, so he would hire them. He would take photos. He would use them as reference photos, because this was not the internet age, people. But his artwork is so good. The problem is it's so good because he's a perfectionist, and he has to have it perfect, and he won't turn it in prior to that, notoriously bad at deadlines.
Right.
There is not that many Rocketeer comic strips at all.
No.
In fact, it would fit in one big hardcover book when all is said and done.
Yep.
That's years of Rocketeer.
Right.
Wild to think of that.
That is crazy.
But he knew he was slow. He knew his own faults, and he would largely do cover work and other work like that for people. He got a lot of jobs working as an illustrator for movies. He worked on Raiders of the Lost Ark or one of the Indiana Joneses he worked on and did storyboards for.
Nice.
And he said that was one of the worst things he ever did, because he would have George Lucas would be like, yeah, you don't have to go so crazy on this, like they can be, because he's over detailing them.
Yeah.
To where Spielberg's like, no, I love these, do more, like make them more. And he's like, I'm pretty sure Spielberg just wanted to steal them and hang them up.
Right.
So he just,
he's making full illustrated pieces. Right. For storyboard.
But who do you listen to? Right.
Yeah.
So there's
on the check.
That's right. That's the answer. That is the answer. So it's a very interesting thing that he kind of goes between comic world and film world. And
right.
He did so much work, way more than I even realized. He worked on a lot of different projects, even before The Rocketeer got any legs as a movie,
right,
which they do cover in this. What's fun is he became good friends with Billy Campbell, who played The Rocketeer.
Yes.
And he eventually would become good friends with Betty Page, which is insane.
That is insane.
So think of this. You're a kid. You idolize this woman who's a beautiful woman in a pinup model, which was insane at that time. Like, oh, that was not acceptable.
That was very not okay.
Right. You can look up that. Betty Page. Amazing story. Amazing woman who did find God in the end and had a good last few years.
She was a strong proponent of feminism as well. I
know, she was.
Despite what she did, but she was definitely from the female empowerment angle, from my understanding.
Yes, 100%. So he loved her, and he would, his character of Betty that he drew into The Rocketeer is just Betty Page, but nobody knew who Betty Page was by name then.
Right.
And he actually, people started like coming up to Betty Page like, you're like in The Rocketeer thing, like people know who she is from his drawings. And there's a cool bit of this, which Betty Page has since passed, and Dave Stevens has also passed, by
right.
the way, and they talk about it, and there's like, you can actually hear her talking. There's some archival stuff with her and with him, and he found out where she lived by complete happenstance, found out where she lived, realized she lived close enough to him, and he became friends with her and would like go buy her groceries and take her to appointments and stuff, and just like kind of tell her how much the world really loved her.
That's awesome.
Something she didn't even have a clue.
That's wild.
And he got her money because she didn't know that they were using her likeness on things that were not, she didn't approve it.
Right.
Because she had just largely disappeared from the public eye. So he paid her for The Rocketeer because he used her likeness.
Oh, that's
and
cool.
After he paid her a bunch of money, he got everyone else to start paying her.
Oh, that's rad.
So she had a very good end of life experience.
That's way cool.
Which is super awesome. But there's so many things to cover here. To keep it short and sweet, Dave Stevens was amazing. If you've never seen his art, please seek it out. He did a ton of good art on a bunch of great comics, some of which that aren't, you know, your Marvels and DCs.
Nope.
So, you know, Comico and Pacific and... There's just a whole litany of things.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of illustrative movie art, movie posters. You'll find that stuff out there as well, drawn by him.
Yep.
Sadly, he did pass away from leukemia, and it is a sad end to the documentary, but you know it's coming, and I just really enjoyed this for being such an honest representation of the comic medium and just kind of giving this guy his flowers and getting all these cool people. Thomas Jane was just like a friend. He's just
awesome.
He's smoking a pipe the whole time. He's just like, I'm Thomas Jane. This guy ruled.
That's awesome.
He drew some stuff for me. I love him.
That's great.
It's just really, really nice, and it does end with something nice that Billy Campbell wrote about him after he passed.
Oh, cool.
It's kind of how it ends. And I was like, that's just really sweet. So if you want a feel-good documentary and you can learn something as well, they talk about the Rocketeer movie. They talk about everything. It's all in here. So definitely tackle this documentary.
Awesome.
IMDb, give it an 8.9.
Holy crap.
Yes. Yes, IMDb gave it an 8.9. That is wild.
That is.
For Rotten Tomato critics, there are two in, but it does not have enough to be an actual score. I did look at them because I was like, I think this is really good, and I want to know. It was an 8 out of 10 and a 3 out of 4, so gives you an idea. The audience, the other reason I wanted to look that up is because less than 50 people gave it 100%.
Okay.
But, you know, hey, I gave it a 9 out of 10. I can't argue.
Wow.
It's a well-done documentary.
Very cool.
Yeah, very, very cool.
I realize that we're not smoking pipes enough on this podcast now.
They don't sell bubble pipes anymore because they think that's bad for children, to teach children that. Can you build a bubble pipe, Max?
We can get bubble pipes.
Oh, fuck yeah.